You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The cocoa crop of the New World, of the continent of South America. The cocoa crop is the contributor, we're told, to the cocaine traffic, the narco-terrorism that plagues so many states, including the United States, including Europe. All of that from the cocoa crop. So I welcome Emma Hogan, who's the America's editor at the Economist magazine, to introduce us to what I regard as fresh thinking by a major player in Latin America and South America and the New World, the new president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro. Emma, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. You begin to observe the humble origins of the cocaine trafficking that Hollywood likes so much for gangster movies. It's a cocoa bush being picked or harvested by young people, I imagine, called raspachan. What are they? And what does the cocoa bush look like? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's great to be with you. Indeed, the raspachan are young, often migrants from Venezuela or poor Colombians who are basically picking this cocoa bush crop, which it's a really quite tough labor. The reporting that I did along with my colleagues shows that basically their hands are often shredded by picking this crop, but it pays better than other agricultural labor in Colombia, which still remains a country that produces by far the most cocoa bush in the world.
Now, the war on drugs, I learned from Emma's reporting, started with Richard Nixon when the amount of cocaine coming into the U.S. was a boutique size. Now it's industrial strength. We're talking about the Amazon of cocaine flowing into the U.S. However, it affects 2% of the population, is the estimate, 6 million people plagued by cocaine. That is not what the cocoa bush intends when it's picked. That is part of a decision-making chain that Emma takes me into. First of all, this new thinking. The new thinking is surprising, legalization. But we've already seen legalization of some aspects of the drug wars in the U.S. having to do with cannabis, with marijuana. So we'll start with Gustavo Petro and his remarks at the UN. Is that what the president of Colombia has in mind, as cannabis has been legalized in certain parts of the United States and other parts of the New World? So can cocaine be legalized? Is that the concept, Emma?
Well, not entirely. I mean, what's really striking is that Latin American presidents have often said after they've left office that the war on drugs hasn't worked. Now we've got not one, but two sitting presidents who are saying this. Gustavo Petro in Colombia, who was inaugurated in August, and Pedro Castillo in Peru, which is the country that is the second largest producer of cocoa bush. So what they're saying is that the prohibition model, which was started by Richard Nixon, and it's basically continued since then, is not working, in that the more money you plow into ripping up cocoa crops, the more criminals either evade the armies who are ripping up crops, go into other further areas, deforest other bits of the country, or go into other countries such as Venezuela. But also the fact that criminals are very adept at making the most out of the bush, cocoa bush crops that they've got. So although the area under cultivation has remained broadly unchanged, the amount of cocaine production has boomed. According to the UN Office of Drugs and Crime, it reached record production in 2020, although the amount they estimate is likely to be an underestimate. So what Gustavo Petro is proposing is basically to ensure that the poor cocoa farmers who grow the crops and provide the crops to gangs, they are not targeted and they are decriminalized. He's also talked about negotiating with gangs, offering them leniency if they dismantle and not extraditing them to the US. And he's also talked about potentially, you know, cocaine being able to be consumed in Colombia, where it is decriminalized anyway. Legalization is something which Mr. Petro says is only Colombia is only able to really consider if it was to be legalized in the US, which, although, as you say, 2% of the population is estimated to have used cocaine in 2020, it still remains the biggest consumer of the drug.
The question about making cocaine or making the cocoa crop into something that is acceptable to so many different sovereignties, there is the challenge because, you know, Emma, we're dealing with the so-called narco-terrorism gang that is a source of capital for really bad actors. I'm thinking of Caracas. So we're looking at some dangerous language, but I'm certainly attracted to it because it is uniformly the report that the war on drugs is a failure, has been for many decades, and that in Colombia, the country that Gustavo Petro now is responsible for, I believe under President Duque, the previous administration, there was more cocoa than ever being grown, and there was more narco-terrorism than ever. So it was preying on the people of Colombia, preying on the whole region. And the timeline here is important. Does President Castillo talk about how quickly this could change if it starts, as they say, if it starts in the United States, how fast could this happen? Because we're talking about, what, billions and billions of dollars all of a sudden being taken out of the hands of bad actors.
Indeed. Well, I mean, both President Petro and President Castillo are somewhat hamstrung in how much they can do. So in Peru and Bolivia already, there is a small amount of coca bush, which is legal in that there is a small legal amount that being grown by farmers if it's not used to make cocaine, if it's used for chewing, which has been done used by indigenous people in these countries for hundreds and thousands of years, but basically those small legal markets for coca leaf, they do not dent the profits of illegal gangs because, as you say, this stuff, you know, cocoa bush is turned into cocoa paste, which is then turned into cocaine, and it's shipped out of Colombia,
right,
either into Mexico or into Brazil, and then from there to the US or to Europe or even to farther afield to Australia and China, where you know, the profit margins are huge. We only have estimates, but you know, one of the estimates I was told was that, you know, for about, you know, a kilo will cost about $3,000 in Colombia, but you know, 20,000 in America, 100,000 in Australia, and so on. So really, I mean, having a small legal coca leaf market hasn't stopped illegal coca production for cocaine in Peru and Bolivia. As to the speed at which cocaine could be legalized in the US, my reporting made it very clear that this is unlikely to happen anytime in the United States. I mean, you've currently got a situation where marijuana is fully legal in 19 states, but is illegal at the federal level. And President Joe Biden has just created a pardon for those who have given federal convictions of possessing marijuana. But marijuana is a much softer drug than cocaine. But the reporting that me and my colleagues did convinced me that cocaine is the most striking example of how the war on drugs hasn't worked. in that for as much as it has been clamped down upon, for as much as there has been US money given to Colombia to eradicate crops, it has criminals have found ways to keep providing it to those that take it in America, Europe, and elsewhere.
I've been concentrating on the gangs, but your reporting indicates that we're looking at the creation of narco states, state actors that either direct the gangs or fuel the gangs or take the extract profits from the gangs, not just Colombia and Peru, but also you mentioned Uruguay, Paraguay, Ecuador, and Honduras is compromised completely by the Hernandez brothers. And then you talk about Guinea-Bissau in Africa as a conduit into Europe. And there's even a quote in the piece about how the Netherlands could or is turning into a narco state. So we're not just talking about law enforcement and the challenge of gunplay and the streets of a Mexican city and the corruption of children. We're talking about state actors falling under the overwhelming amount of cash and power and violence of these. Is that in any way persuasive to the decision makers? As you say, they talk of the war on drugs being a failure when they leave office, but in office, I'm looking for someone to hit the alarm bell and say, what's coming here is the narco alliances of states that don't want to change.
Yes, I mean, it was the head of the Dutch police union who said that the Netherlands was becoming a narco state. I mean, I think that is somewhat hyperbole. But I was struck that on October the 7th, Femke Halsema, Amsterdam's mayor, said to a meeting of European justice ministers that she thought that the war on drugs had failed as well, and that cocaine should be decriminalized, which is different from legalized, in that decriminalization means that those who are caught possessing the drug are not convicted of a crime, but that the drug remains illegal. It's clear that cocaine built the criminal infrastructure of Latin America, but that has spread really far and wide. And that you in places such as Guinea-Bissau and in Rotterdam, where there's a very good, very large port where a lot of the drugs come into Europe, we can see that criminality has spread and increased. And I mean, the leader that The Economist, that I wrote for The Economist, we argue that legalization rather than decriminalization would go some way to defanging these gangs. It wouldn't entirely get rid of them, because for that, better law enforcement is needed in many of these places in Latin America. But despite the fact that gangs have diversified over the past few decades into other things such as illegal fentanyl production or illegal gold mining or human trafficking, cocaine is a significant part of their revenues, as far as we can estimate. And so because of that, if cocaine was legalized in the US, and so by doing so, you would reduce the profit margins of this drug, it would go some way to weakening these criminal networks.
But Emma, what about the case that's made in your explication here of the direct link between cocaine and violence? That would be a driving motive. Let's talk about that when we come back, because there are recommendations here. Emma Hogan for The Economist magazine, the America's editor, and we're talking about Gustavo Petro, whose romantic reputation includes having been a guerrilla associated with violence in Colombia when he was a young man, but now a president of Colombia recommending decriminalization and legalization. These are separate concepts. I got them confused in my own mind. And Pedro Castillo, who is under considerable pressure in his own country. Peru is troubled by many problems, not just about cocoa crop. But when we come back, what is to be done? I'm John Bash.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.